From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Are you a follower of fashion? Houseplant fashion, that is, seeking out the latest variety that everyone's after, perhaps the it plant that's been splashed across social media? Or was each houseplant in your home carefully chosen because it's a perfect match for the light and other indoor conditions you can offer it? Well, whatever your criteria, emotional or practical or otherwise, how do you know what's the right houseplant for you? It's a question that today's guest, August Laska, and his team at the Old U Plant Shops, and that's U as in taxes, as in Y-E-W, are asked all the time. We're going to head inside today from the summer heat of the garden to talk houseplants. So more in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for Away to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
Today's guest, August Laska, didn't exactly intend to end up with so many houseplants, not just the ones in his house, but two whole New York City stores full of them. Like a lot of people, the former corporate marketing coordinator got into plants during the pandemic, but I suspect few others got in quite so deep as to prompt an entire career change like August's. His two branches of the Old U Plant Shop in the West Village and on the Upper West Side of Manhattan offer retail and mail order plants and pots and other gear, as well as design services and more. And I'm so glad to welcome him to the show today. Hi, August, how are you?
Good morning, I'm doing well. How are you?
It's a good time to be indoors, I think.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Number what, four of the year so far?
I know, it's cuckoo land.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I hinted in the introduction, you know, the pandemic and plants definitely changed things up in your life. And I thought you could just give us like the short version of that sort of, you went from being working in marketing at a big corporation to,
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always had plants. I was always a hobby of mine, like so many other people. And in the pandemic, I had a lot of free time, like everybody else. And so my marketing brain got to work, and I started selling plants to my friends. And then that turned into a website, and then that turned into an Instagram account. And then 20,000 followers later, and two stores later, and 6 years later, here we are. It just snowballed, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also do landscaping of all the things. I mean, besides the indoor, besides the houseplant business, which is, as I said, not just retail in person in Manhattan in two locations, but also mail order. You also do landscaping stuff for people, I think.
We do. And the story goes, I was gardening in my mom's front yard in 2020 and planting some hydrangeas, which are still there today. And the neighbor walked across the street and said, "Oh my gosh, those are so beautiful. Can I pay you to do that in my yard?" And she was my first paying customer. And so it really was born out of, you know, practice. I mean, there was no professional schooling. I didn't study horticulture. I just sort of learned on the fly. It's a blessing, because not many people just sort of fall into something that they love. But it's been a really amazing couple years. And I think it was a little bit of like, you know, the right time in the right place. It's amazing to work with plants every day.
Yeah. Well, I suspect you and your staff, I think when we spoke before, you told me there were like 16 or 17 people on the team now between the two stores and the rest of the business. And I suspect you guys are like matchmakers for people and plants, you know, that people come in or email or call sort of asking for advice on like what plant is right for me, kind of. Is that
absolutely
part of the equation?
That is precisely what happens. And you know, we do a lot of back and forth question and answer with people when they come in or when they reach out to us, because I find it so funny. People come in and they ask such a generic question like, "What is the best plant for a bedroom?" And we have to say, well, what is your bedroom? What is the condition? What are the conditions of your bedroom? You know, is there a window? Is it north facing? Is it south facing? And so we end up asking the customer many more questions than they ask us, because it's so situational. Not every room is the same. And as you know, plants require such different
Yes.
basic elements of care, like light and water and even humidity. And so we are finding out the lifestyle and the environment of the customer to make sure that the plant that they ultimately go home with is right for them. And then there's the added element of the design element, which I think we'll get to. But at the very, you know, the very first layer is this plant going to live? That's where we start with the customer.
And I imagine that a lot of people are drawn, and as I said again in the introduction, the sort of they've seen, such and such on Instagram or whatever, and they've got to have one, but they don't know
Yes.
anything about it.
Yes, that happens often. And some of these plants that we see on Instagram, you know, are fortunately or unfortunately staged. You know, they're put there for a photograph.
Yes.
And that's perfectly fine. You know, it makes for beautiful art, beautiful photography. And it can be difficult and challenging sometimes to like admit that information to customers who want that look forever, you know, in their living room. And so we have developed a couple ways to help. We offer automatic grow lights that turn on, you know, at night, so as not to disturb you during the day, that keep plants that might need a lot more light, you know, in a room that has no windows. So there are ways that we've sort of figured out how to put something where it may not usually want to be, with automatic watering systems like a sub-irrigation liner or these automatic grow lights. So we've developed over the years a couple ways to sort of counteract that like staged photo kind of plant thing. But it's an investment. You know, how many people do you know have grow lights and watering systems on timers, you know, in their New York City apartment? I mean, that's, you know, it's not so common.
Or want to go that far, because
Right
there's a
for the look.
commitment, right? There's a commitment, there's an expense, there's all those different layers. And the other thing I would imagine is that, like for instance, one plant that comes to mind in in recent years, Monstera's, with their big, often variegated Swiss cheesy kind of fabulous leaves and so forth. They were like everywhere. But does anybody know who craves one, what its eventual growth habit and size is, that plant? That plant
And
doesn't want to
most,
be tiny, does it?
no, it does not. And it's named like a monster for a reason. You know, we get lots of inquiries from people who've had Monsteras for years, and they say, "Oh my gosh, what did I do to this plant? Why does it look so crazy lopsided? You know, why doesn't it look so cute and pretty like it does on Instagram or like it did when I bought it?" And we push back to the customer and say, "You're doing amazing. Look how incredibly this plant has grown. It just needs to be staked up because it wants to grow upwards. You know, it's falling over out of the pot that you have because it's actually not meant to grow in soil in the ground. It's meant to climb up a trunk of a tree in a rainforest." So there's a quite a bit of education that we do to people that we work with, because plants are sold, you know, commercially to be in pots in your house, but in the wild, that's not exactly what they want.
No, it's really true. So then besides people coming in and saying, I want a plant for my bedroom, and then you say, well, what's your bedroom like? And those types of details of making a good match. Like, how much does trendiness, like what we're talking about with, people have seen the Monstera or have seen another trendy plant. How much does trendiness figure in? Do you hear a lot about, oh, I saw this, or oh, I've got to have that? Is that a big thing? And do you kind of follow plant trends? I mean, you must follow plant trends, and because it's,
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of funny, and I find it to be really interesting. Plants absolutely, with certainty, go through trends in the same way that music and fashion and television and films go through popular trends and culture, decade over decade. In the 2010s, in the millennial houseplant boom, it wasn't just the Monstera, it was the fiddly fig. Every single person needed to have a fiddly fig. It was like that was the plant, and I'm sure many, many people remember that. Because it that sort of like crept outside of the plant world. It was like if you were just a person with a room, or where you lived, you needed to have a fiddly fig. And so that trend has sort of faded a little bit, and I think what everybody's saying now is we want a plant that's easier than a fiddly fig, because there's I remember so many people saying, I bought my fiddly fig and 30 days later it had no leaves on it because it got stressed and it dropped every single leaf. And so now there's this idea that like that plant was like too hard. And so there's an easier version of the fiddly fig that is probably one of our best selling plants. It's called a Ficus Audrey, and it is a cousin of the fiddly fig, it's what we say. And it's much easier. It doesn't drop all of its leaves. It's in a stressful period.
And it's kind of like Audrey, like a woman's name, or
Audrey, like a
AUDRY, or
Audrey, like Audrey Hepburn.
Oh.
So that's if you're in the market for a big ficus tree, I would recommend a Ficus Audrey.
Huh.
So they certainly go through trends. I would say in the 2020s, it is still the black olive tree. That is the plant that we get requested the most, which is kind of counter to what I just said about people wanting an easier tree, because the black olive tree has a reputation for being very, very, I don't want to say difficult, but high maintenance. If it's in the right conditions, it thrives. But if it is not, you will end up with a stick. There's certainly trends.
So the black
Yeah.
olive, so it, and I don't know how to pronounce the genus because I've never heard anyone say it. It's Busida, is it BUCIDA?
Busita,
Busida. So it's not an olive. It's called black olive, but it's not an olive. Like
correct.
I saw on your website, I think you actually do have some real olive trees though, don't you?
We do, yes. And we sort of we recommend that true like Mediterranean olive trees are like outside for the summer and then
Yes.
inside for the winter.
Yes.
That's really how they're going to thrive the best, kind of like a lemon tree or a lime tree. But we do have some clients who keep them indoors year round, and they actually live. Again, with the right conditions, the right spot, anything will live. But it's very dependent on the environment.
So going back though to the black olive, so which is not a real olive, a fruiting tree,
Correct.
it has become popular because it's or sought after. It's not like popular as in like it's not at the big box store type of popular. It's choice. And so it has a very, I don't know how would you describe it? It has a distinctive look once it's grown. It's
It
kind of
does. It yeah. Whenever anybody asks about it and their care and what it even looks like, I say to them kind of cheekily, forget everything you know about houseplants. This thing is to entirely different from anything you've ever had. It grows. It has this incredible geometric growth habit. If you look at the branch structure from below, it looks like a calculus. I mean, it looks like a math formula. The way that the branches grow are zigzag. They grow horizontally out from the trunk. It's like almost like a big bonsai tree, and the
I was gonna say
leaves
it
are
has like a
so.
bonsai feel to it, like as if someone had prompted it to make this take this shape, but it does it naturally.
Correct. It does it entirely naturally, especially when it's very young. When it's a mature tree planted in the ground and it's 50 feet tall, it sort of loses that shape. But as a young young tree, like a stem, it has this very horizontal growth habit. And what I think people love about it is that the leaves are so small and delicate that when you put it in front of a window, which is where it really wants to be, you can still see through it and the light still comes through it into the room. Whereas if you put a big ficus tree with
Yes.
massive leaves in the window, it soaks up all the light, which is what it wants, but and that's why the leaves are so big. But it can detract from, the precious light of a that comes into a New York City apartment.
Right.
And so there's this very, very delicate element to the tree that I think is what people are after.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And so it definitely wants a lot of light, a lot more light than many of our apartments, or in many cases, sometimes homes have. I mean,
Right.
it's not a, you can't put that one in a corner of the bedroom with a little north-facing
Correct. You
light.
can't, but going back to what I said a little bit earlier, we have some people and some interior designers who have dedicated, the dark corner of the room
Yes.
for a tree. And so what do? We have to f either find a tree or a plant that will tolerate that limited amount of light, or if it has to be a black olive tree or another plant that requires a lot of light, we will set up a grow light from
Yes.
below.
Yes.
And so we have to find the way to make it work.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And the other thing about the black olive tree is it's incredibly thirsty. It grows along riverbanks, and so
Oh.
it's basically a swamp plant. I mean, it can tolerate being in standing water. And so this is why I say to people, forget everything you know about a houseplant, because any other plant, for the most part, that is sitting in standing water will
You
not like
rot
it.
the
They would
roots,
rot.
right.
This plant, that's what it wants. It is so thirsty. It
Oh.
will just drink and drink and drink. And so the other consideration for this tree is, do you have the time to devote to watering it almost every day? And so that's another element to think about when choosing not just this plant, but any plant is how much time will I have to spend
Right,
caring for it?
right,
What do I have to
right,
do to keep it alive?
right. Yeah. So that one's kind of trending at the moment. Would you say that's
It
one that's
is.
desirable at the moment?
It is. And it's all over Architectural Digest.
I see.
I've seen it in the Restoration Hardware catalog, when it's staged for furniture photo shoots. So it's
Right.
really everywhere. It has this look to it. And we have them in our store. We sell them often. And we are very forthcoming about the care for them.
Right.
We're not going to keep that information from somebody who wants this tree. We'll say, hey, it's high maintenance. It
Right.
may not work in your space, and
Yeah.
people, many people are okay to just try, see what
Yeah.
happens.
I don't have any trendy house plants. I mean, I'm so out of date. I have like grandma plants, ones I literally inherited from my grandmother, so plants that are, I don't know, 80 years old or something, that she had for a million years. And, yeah. So, I mean, I have like clivias, for instance. And then
It's
I have,
amazing. I love that.
Oh yeah, no, they're great. And the one big plant that she had is now many, many big plants, actually in pots so big and so heavy that they probably weigh as much as I do. They're giants. But at any rate, and then the other plants that I have are never were trendy because they're sort of rare things, they're unusual things that, because I was in the garden writing business, whatever, rare plant friends and other plant nerds would say, oh, you've got to try this, something that's obscure. So I've never had like a, I've never had a fiddle leaf fig when it was in, or a monstera when it was in, or you know what I mean? So it's interesting to me. Yeah.
Well, I think that the plants that people have been cultivating for 80 years and longer, they're a testament to the plants that are like the staples, the foundations, like for example, a Christmas cactus or an Easter
Yes,
cactus
yes.
or any of those blooming cacti
And those are
that
ones
do
that can stay
that
forever in your life. Yes.
exactly. So like they're a testament to plants that just work. That are not, they're sort of timeless. They don't go in and out of style. They just live. So,
Yes.
yeah, it's
Yes.
interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It is interesting. And Sansevierias are still around. You know, those have
Oh, yeah.
been houseplants, quote unquote, forever, it seems like. So,
Right.
I want to ask you, like sort of some of the, transition a little bit and say some of the questions, 'cause we have about, 5 minutes left. And I bet you're asked, just like I am as a garden writer, I'm asked the same questions over and over again. Are there sort of greatest hits of houseplant questions? And especially like right now, are there ones that are, the ones that you hear over and again that you want to get across the answer to people to help them the most, sort of?
Well, a couple things. I would say every day I get asked the following question. I have a bathroom with no windows. What plant can I put in it? And I just have to, remind people that plants are living things and they survive off of sunlight and water. And if you are going to put a plant somewhere with no windows, it's not going to live. There are some plants that will take longer to die than others, like a snake plant or a ZZ plant or a cactus, but they will die in a room with no windows. And so I think it goes back to just the education of this business, that it's I find it funny that I have to remind people that plants are alive. And they need sunlight. So just remember that, even if I say often, like even if there is a sliver of a window in a room somewhere, there is a plant that will tolerate that amount of light. But if there's nothing, then unfortunately we're out of luck here.
And we could set up, as you said, one of the lights, but in
We
somewhere like
could,
a
we
bathroom,
could.
that might not be the thing to be doing.
Right. Exactly. And the other thing, sort of in the similar vein, is people are so excited about succulents and cacti because they have this reputation that they're so easy and they're so hands-off and they don't need anything. And while that may be true in terms of water, I think it's gotten a little bit lost because people say, oh, a succulent or a cactus doesn't need anything. I'm going to put it in the room with no windows. So it kind of gets like mistaken for something that doesn't, it just like lives, like it's like a statue. But I remind people, succulents and cacti grow in the desert where there's no shade. They like full sunlight
Tons of light,
and tons of light. And it's so funny because people's eyes widen and they say, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. And it's just funny to me how often that happens. That I think sometimes like the marketing of houseplants gets in the way of the actual like origins of them.
Well, and we've seen them almost like floral arrangements, like sold alongside. It's like
Yes.
here's a little gift for a centerpiece. Use this succulent. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
And
absolutely.
once they became sort of equated or parallel to that, a hostess gift or a centerpiece,
Yes.
it's we think disposable. Like we don't think about
Right.
aftercare, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So any others that you want, just in the last minute or two, you want to share? Any other questions?
I mean, I think what I'm about to say could probably be a topic of its own entirely, but the other thing that comes along with plant care is not just sunlight and water, but pest control and pest care. Which is not just unique to indoor. It of course is an outdoor garden issue as well. But indoors, there's no weather, there's no rain, there's no natural elements, there's no other pet beneficial pests that can control those. So it's on us as the caretakers for plants to do some pest control. And we have people come in all the time who get very upset that their plant has fungus gnats, or the plant has aphids, or scale, or mealybugs, and we remind people that this is a normal part of plant care. You have a living thing, and pests are attracted to plants, and so it's a natural part of having a plant is is getting rid of those pests, and there's a lot of ways to do it.
And staying out ahead of being
And
observant
being
and
a,
vigilant
yes.
so that it doesn't become infested with scale
Right.
insects, but that you
Right.
see the first ones happening and go, oh, I'm going to get ahead. I have to get out ahead of
Yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes. And I think specifically here in New York City, where everybody lives in confined small spaces for the most part, whenever there's a bug of any kind, everybody gets upset.
Yes.
And so there's a little bit of damage control that we have to do.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. Well, August Laska of the Old U Plant Shop, or shops, because there are two of them. I'll give all the information about the shops and what you do. And as I said, you do mail order and stuff too, so but thank you for making time. And let's definitely in the fall, let's do a pest, a house plant pest thing, because that could be sort of a preventive and vigilance thing. That would be really, really helpful to a
Absolutely.
lot of us. So
Yes.
I'm so glad to
All
talk to
right.
you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank
All
you
right.
so much, Margaret. It was great. Thank
Talk
you.
to you again soon.
Okay.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy houseplant growing and gardening meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, HighMowingSeeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and RobinHoodRadio.com.